Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Audio courtesy of College Football on Fox.
Kenny, what's up?
Away you go.
What's going on?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I didn't go to Ohio State. You did. Today the floor is yours. It is yours.
Oh, I don't think it's just the Ohio State alumni who are upset today.
Or yeah, the Ohio the State show, boosters. On the show, you're the one who went to Ohio State.
Yeah,
you're the one who's still an Ohio State fan. I think that for me to sit there and espouse my opinions on Ryan Day and his future in the non-action during the melee at the end of the game, pepper spray being used for crying out loud. I really think you should go ahead and get some things off your chest. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. I don't know. Maybe
I just kind of think I was ahead on this. You could just rerun my commentary from last year or the year before. Everybody's a little later to the party than I was. That's fine. The water's warm. Get on in. After the game. After the game, so we are at a bar. I got my sister in town.
Yeah, you are.
She was with a bunch of her friends. And we were kind of just in disbelief the whole fourth quarter because it had gotten to the point where I had already, you know me, I made up my mind on Ryan Day a few years ago.
Yes, you did.
I guess people always say, well, what if he beats Michigan? And I'm like, well, I assumed he was going to beat Michigan because this was by far in the Ryan Day this last 5 years, this was the worst Michigan team. They had no quarterback. They after with injuries, their stud tight end didn't play. The best defensive player they have was not out there, was not able to give it a go. So you were going up against a very wounded version of a team that was wounded anyway. A team that was supposed to be, you know, basically a 6-loss team, 20-point dogs. It hadn't been that way in this game for so many years. And this was supposed to be a romp. And so by halftime, I'm like, all right, Ohio State's going to win this game, but it's still very ugly, and I haven't changed my stance on Ryan Day at all. Then the fourth quarter happened. The fourth quarter. And I knew, and we had kind of primed, I think, everybody on Wednesday. I had said, look, there's one aspect of this game that I'm a little surprised the line is what it is, mm-hmm. because rarely do you see a mismatch in college football where one team has a decided edge in an area that's pretty important. And in this case, that edge was their defensive line against your offensive line. And I was a little worried about that. Not so, I want to be clear, not so worried I thought we would lose the game. But as the third quarter, as the ball control, Michigan, even though they could barely move the ball. What was their one touchdown drive? Was 2 yards. Like, it wasn't like Michigan. Like, I could go back into the annals of those years where Michigan upset you, and it was Bianca Batuka, or it was Desmond Howard on his way to a Heisman Trophy, or Charles Woodson. Like, they had guys that were signature players in the rivalry. Michigan didn't have any of that on Saturday, and they still beat you.
Yeah.
They still humiliated you, and you were at home,
yeah,
and you were healthy, and you had the $20 million roster. You have all the money that was spent for Ryan Day, all the money that was spent for Chip Kelly, all the money invested in Brian Hartline, all the money invested by those boosters, the resources that were given because Michigan beat you last year, because Michigan went and won a national championship. And I am sitting there, I got to be honest, mad. We've been beyond mad. I was mad 3 years ago. I was mad 2 years ago. I was outraged a year ago because of the stakes and because Michigan ends up winning the national championship. That happened on Ryan Day's watch. And I was told, don't worry, next year, the boosters are going to make it happen. The boosters are going to make it happen. Yeah, but who's the head coach? I kept coming back to that. The boosters didn't answer that question. Oh, we went and got Chip Kelly. All right, well, Chip Kelly used all his magical plays against Penn State and Indiana. That's where he feasted. But by the way, they went back to some of those plays. They went back to some of those plays, and Michigan was ready for them. Yeah, they were ready for him this time. So I'm staring there in disbelief, Kenny, at the end of the game, going, we in this storied rivalry, where we've had great tension, I mean great tension, between these two teams, scuffles that had broken out over the years that were supposed to be hallmarks of this rivalry. I've never been upset at teams getting into it. Little skirmishes here, little brawls there, little 15-yard penalties, flags. When it comes to guys getting maced on the football field after you get humiliated,
pepper spray,
like that, that was an all-time low moment in the rivalry. And I sat there and I said, what is our coach doing? What is our coach doing allowing this to get to this point? As he just stared, Fox cameras caught him two different times, just staring into oblivion. He was just completely gobsmacked. He had no reaction. He was as feckless a head coach as I could ever imagine. Can you imagine Woody Hayes allowing that to happen? He would have gone in there, and I can't say he'd be a peacemaker.
No.
I can't say he'd be the biggest peacemaker, but he would have gotten involved. I think Jim Tressel would have walked within five miles of that skirmish, and I actually think the Michigan players would have stopped. I think they would have bowed down and said, well, you know, the Senator's here. I think it wouldn't happen. Urban Meyer would have came on in and punted, you know, one of the special teams guys or something, but the seas would have parted.
Would have been
the end of
allegedly.
It.
Allegedly.
In this case, well, maybe there would have been a co-ed rushing the field that, you know, would have had to run for her life. Either way,
reckless speculation.
When all was said and done, what a symbolic moment in Ohio State history. Your head coach, who's just lost in the most agonizing fashion. What did they do in the fourth quarter? How many yards did they get? Did they even get a first down in the fourth quarter? On the last series, where teams always drive the ball up and down the field, did you get a yard? It was humiliating, and your head coach watched as your team waved the white flag once and for all. This era, four teams, that senior class. Remember, it was senior day. I remember great senior day moments. I remember Troy Smith coming out on senior day as an homage to Jim Tressel and the coach, getting that motor started, getting it going, and then them going out there and playing the game of the century, and it was incredible. And I saw this, and I saw a class that will end, what, 7 5-star recruits that class had, and they will end with zero golden pants. Zero. And yet all they talked about all year was Michigan, 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 Michigan. Not week of, can't say the term, can't have M's anywhere on campus because they spent so much time making sure to put their scarlet X's all over every single M on campus. Yeah, Kenny, you can make the case. John Cooper didn't care about the rivalry enough. I almost think Ryan Day, in a performative way, cared about the rivalry so much that it was destined for them to pucker up in a close game. They knew once Michigan hit them in the mouth, they remembered, oh yeah, that's Michigan. They've owned us the last 3 years. We thought we would kick their asses, and this is a ball game in the third. Turtle up, because you know what's about to happen. Because those guys have it. Those are men. We are mercenaries. And Ohio State loses again. And yeah, we're going to the playoff. Congratulations. You think anybody is amped up about a playoff over there in Columbus? I think you have coaches that are calling their agents and trying to figure out where they're going next.
So I had three observations there. I think you just hit it right out of the park. Technically, I had four, but you just hit it right there. I thought that game was lost some point in the third quarter. Like a mosquito to a light. That's the way that game played out. Because I really was. I was just as shocked as Ryan Day. I'm not the head coach of the Ohio State University. He is. So I sat there on the couch at my buddy's house in disbelief. I go, I cannot believe they lost this game. I cannot believe. Axel's sitting there. And I ain't going to lie to you. I found myself rooting for him. I found myself rooting for Ohio State. Because he's sitting right next to me. He's an Ohio State fan. And so my buddy Brett is not an Ohio State fan. He is not. He and his wife, like, they're not even Michigan fans. They just wanted Michigan to win because they were underdogs. He doesn't care. They don't care. So I'm like, hey, shut up. The boy wants Ohio State to win. And because the boy wants Ohio State to win, in turn, I guess I want Ohio State to win. So there were things, and I'm watching the game, and I'm actively taking it in. And I'm going, they get that turnover at that goal line stand. And it was before the 3rd and 9, and I go, just don't throw it out of here. Just don't commit a stupid turnover. Out route, boom, picked off. I'm going, oh, my God. I can't. Okay, this is a stupid touchdown. It's going to be 7-3. I go, this is dumb. I go, you can get this back. And when they got that touchdown, they went right down the field like a minute left in the first half and got that touchdown to make it 10-10. I go, all right, that's it. And I'm getting texts from, like, I got Notre Dame fans who text me during the game and like, boy, they don't deserve to win this game. They're going to pull away, but this is stupid. This guy sucks as a head coach. And I go, I think you're right, but we'll see. And man, midway through the third quarter, I go, I'm getting a stealing feeling again about this game, boy. I'm getting a stealing feeling about this. And then they kick that field goal. I go, I cannot believe they're going to lose this game again. I can't believe it. I go, there was nobody. They took on. Teams take on at that level. You know, you talk about culture changers, guys who come in and their will is so strong, they change a culture over time. Ryan Day's changed culture for the worse. Because he is a guy who constantly, and I mean underline the word, constantly punches down. Because I had to have this observation. There's a melee going on out there. I felt bad for Jack Sawyer. Jack Sawyer's made millions of dollars playing for Ohio State. I felt bad for Jack Sawyer. I go, this has to be the worst feeling ever. This has to be the worst feeling ever. And I did. I was one of the people go, no. You got 60 minutes to solve that. You didn't solve that. They're putting a flag out there on your field. You do something about it during the game. And next year, if you go up there and you finally do win the game, which, hell, I don't know if that's ever going to happen at this point, take your flag out there and go ahead and do it. Now, that's not what's going to happen. This is going to be outlawed because we have to get rid of all fun.
There's going to be no flags allowed anymore.
It will be out. They'll do their damnedest to get rid of field rushes. They'll do their damnedest to get rid of this. I'm wondering what they're going to do with, like, traveling trophies, like Paul Bunyan's axe or something like that. Are they going to keep it on the other sideline, or are they going to put it behind a goalpost somewhere so you don't have to rush across the other field for a sideline? Because I'm sure there's going to be something that pops up here over the next year or two. You can guarantee yourself that. But I did have this observation. As the melee's going on, and they show Sherrone Moore, and he's jumping in the middle of it, shoving his guys back, get out of there. And they show Ryan Day, and I go, man, even that old man Lou Holtz, as elderly as he was, jumped in the middle of the fracas between Clemson and South Carolina. There are guys stomping each other out at the 50-yard line, and he is jumping in there. Old man Lou Holtz pushing people, get out of here, get out of here, knock this off right now. Lou Holtz, I think in his final game as a head coach in college football, was doing that. Even Lou Holtz did it. I had this observation with you before the game. There are a lot of dogs out there that have the same outlook as Browns fans who call us up, who are in their 60s now. Because there are dogs named Brutus that have reached middle age now and have not seen Ohio State beat Michigan. Third thing is, you guys cross out every M, you can't find a W. That's it. That's my cheap shots for the day. That's it.
They deserve them. They deserve every cheap shot you would ever have.
Really, I am shocked at what I saw. And I can sit there in disbelief on a couch in Poland, Ohio. I ain't the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. They never will be. You had a $20 million roster. You told everybody how much this game meant to you. And you went out there and it was almost manifest destiny that you fell in this football game again. And I've never heard, I mean, you listen to that crowd in the background, the visceral booing, the reaction, the anger that they had. This was going to be a coronation. You're a 23-point favorite. That's it. Go out there. My question was for a lot of folks, and you remember, you had that person who called you who knows the NFL implicitly, and they were going, hey, man, you got to watch that Michigan off that defensive line. It's like, yeah, okay, well, still, it's probably going to be tough sledding, but they're still not going to lose that game. Ohio State's going to win that game. My question was, can they win it by enough? Like, if they would have won the game 13-10, would that have been enough, or would people still be calling up about Ryan Day? Probably that, but you lost that game. That's it. That's it, man. I don't know what Nick's going to say this afternoon. I hope he comes up with a convincing argument. That's it, man. You can't lose that game 4 years in a row like that.
I think
not with that roster, not with those expectations, not against 6-5. Look at how different you look at Sharon Moore right now. Is he 2-0 against, technically?
He right.
2-0 against Ohio State. That was a 7-5 campaign where they go into the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
And they're loading up. And guess what? They are loading up. And Ohio State, they've got it now.
All right.
This is it's a weird situation, and this happened to Michigan last year. And pay attention to this, because while Michigan's loading up and you're hearing about their NIL, their big fundraising efforts, now Ohio State is kind of in a weird purgatory. The playoff teams are at a disadvantage. I know Dan Wetzel wrote about this a lot last year. Is he coming on with us today at 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock, Dan Wetzel.
Ohio State, there are going to be some players that, A, for Ohio State are going to be sitting like bench players that are like, should we leave? We're getting offers. Could we go somewhere else and play immediately? And they're going to be at kind of a tough spot recruiting-wise while Michigan's going to be loading for bear. And so pay attention to that. Pay attention to some of the names that Ohio State could be losing over the course of this playoff situation. But it's dark. That was as dark a Saturday as I could remember. And I remember those 90s. I mean, I was a little young, but I remember those 90s years. Yeah. And that was as dark because you were supposed to win. And you didn't get beat by Bianca Batuka this time. You didn't get beat by Charles Woodson or Desmond Howard. You got beat by a bunch of no-namers. They kicked your ass. And then they celebrated and planted a flag at midfield while guys were getting maced and your coach did nothing.
Mason Graham was one-legging it. So are they really going to fire their head coach at Columbus? Should he even coach in the playoff? I got people on Twitter say this is stupid to call for Ryan Day's job. They're calling you stupid. Nick in North Carolina is calling you dumb, Tone.
I didn't see a lot of that over the weekend. I saw Ohio State and their community collectively turn the page pretty quickly. And I know, here's the funny thing. They're going to the playoff. I do question the buy-in from here on out, but then I looked at the odds, third best odds to win the national championship still. I don't think a playoff team has ever felt, now we've never had the expanded playoffs, but I don't think a playoff team has ever felt as down as this Ohio State. Like, I wonder how in the world that coach that we just saw let that transpire under his watch, that entire, forget the first 3.5 hours, what happened the last half hour. We saw that from Ryan Day. In a way, actually, you're going to be surprised. Just watching him in the press conference, I almost... This is crazy considering how much money he's made and the job that he's ascended to. I almost felt like pity because this is a guy that told us last week that losing to Michigan last year was up there with the tragic death of his father. Like, that's how much he put on this game.
Well, I can feel bad for him, and in a certain way, I think I do. But I can also feel bad for him and feel bad for him on his way out the door.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of people. I heard Pat Forty talking about it. This job has just swallowed him. This job of beating Michigan has swallowed him. And I think that, honestly, for his own sanity, it would either be, gosh, you try to go back and you try to rededicate yourself, but you already did. You already did. You went and got Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was a head coach at UCLA.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, and the writing was on the wall, and he reset his own clock, and he seems much happier now. Well, he ain't happier today, but he was much happier on Friday, just calling offenses and coaching up football the way it was meant to be done. But you went out, you got him, the rumored $20 million roster, which I think we just talk about it as fact now. Who the hell knows, give or take a few million? Who knows? But you have a very expensive roster there. And then to have that game go down the way it did, where it seemed to be you didn't just want to win it. You had to win it in a certain fashion. You had to win the ball. Well, we're not just going to win this game. We're going to run the ball, pound it down their throats. It's like your offensive line's in tatters. I mean, you've had an inordinate amount of injuries across that offensive line.
Kenny, couldn't run the ball. In that first half against Indiana, you couldn't run the football. What
exactly
made them think they were going to be able to do that and man up?
And did they think, like, bounce it? Quinshon Judkins, every time he bounced to the edge, 8 yards. First downs, 8 yards. I go, are you too good to do this? Is it just not man enough for you? Because man enough would have been just winning the game. If you win 13-10, yeah, there's still people bitching in the morning here. But you're 11-1 and you go on to the playoffs and you got the monkey off your back.
Go to the Big Ten Championship to avenge a loss to Oregon.
Yes. And now you sit there, and I thought about him yesterday, and there was some modicum of pity where I pity a guy who has life-changing money that we'll never touch in our life. But there was, I go, I can't imagine he's gone to sleep. I'm sitting there yesterday afternoon, I go, I can't imagine he's gone to bed. How? Unless your body just gave out, you passed out sitting in a chair. That's all there could have been.
I remember when they picked up Chip Kelly. And again, Chip Kelly was not good. Whoever's responsible for that game plan, I imagine the two came together for that game plan. And again, like you pointed out, they waltzed right down the field at the end of the first half throwing the football. I think they had one run on that drive.
Yeah.
They threw the football, slice and diced that secondary without their best player. And Will Howard got it going in rhythm, and that was that. They never really tested Michigan either vertically or in the middle of some of those zones where you've got a freshman that gets open whenever he wants, even if they're rolling coverage over.
You got Jeremiah Smith, and he's the best freshman since the last freshman you had that set the world on fire. You're that type of university. Like, I don't think you were taking a shot at Brian Hartline when you said, when you mentioned his name,
no,
and the money that's spent. But
just
it's like,
the money that's been invested.
I didn't blame him for that. His wide receivers can only get open. Yeah. All they could do was throw him the ball. You know, maybe Will Howard was dinged up because of that hit that he took.
And he did. He took a huge hit.
Didn't they go down the field after that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So,
and he was running up and down the sidelines trying to get everybody pumped up. And that's another one. You know, he came over. I thought he had the makeup. I did. When they picked him up, I'm like, he was kind of up and down at Kansas State. But he really earned, I thought, a lot of kudos throughout the season.
Yep.
And then it just fell so flat. And I think his play callers did not help him at all. But when they picked up Chip Kelly earlier in the year, Kenny, I remember, and people were mad. I think we even put up a poll at the time. I'm like, hey, if they're undefeated or whatever and lose to Michigan and they're making the playoff, like, should Chip Kelly coach the team in the playoff? And people thought that was the most outlandish thing of all time. And then over the weekend, I saw that. Okay, yeah. Okay, let's get a reboot here. You have a chance. You have a chance with a new coach to maybe go on a run here, but not with the coach that you have.
Because it just, honestly, Tone, it seems so asinine that they would lose this.
Right.
That's why I think for a guy like Keith Britton, I give him a lot of hell. I'm not a Michigan fan as much as you say I am. For a guy like him, this has to be the second biggest win he's ever seen in his life. Other than the national championship last year. This has to be the second biggest. The only other thing I would think of is the 1969 game where Ohio State came in, the team of the century, and you beat him then. That's the only other time I would think about it. I mean, in what I've seen in this rivalry, there would probably be the Woodson game is up there. Jim Tressel's first trip to Michigan, the shock and awe, the win there. That was one of the biggest I've ever seen. The game of the century. And then this. I mean, it's just such a shocking. I still am trying to wrap my mind around it 48 hours later. Big Jums in Maple Heights, your first up in the Fan. Should Ryan Day even coach in the playoff?
Hey, It's up in the air. Now, there's rumors out that there's $40 million buyout of the man.
Yeah, so, I saw 37.
Well, that's still a lot to pay for a guy, you know.
They paid $75 million for Jimbo Fisher to go
yes,
away.
Yes, they did. The same AD, right?
Yeah, same athletic director. Well done.
Well, we went to the game, and it was a cold, very cold day. It was hard to even tailgate before it was so cold down there. We go down, lackluster game, the whole game plan. They knew they would struggle a little with their pass rush. Why didn't they adapt to it beforehand and have plays set up for it? They did nothing. These handoffs up the middle were pathetic, but I felt they set the precedence on the first drive. Ohio State actually, like you said, they moved down the last drive before the second first half ended. The first drive of the game, Ohio State went right down the field. Right down the field with passing.
Are you talking about kicking the field goal, not for going for it?
Well, no, not even the point. They set themselves up. They did two terrible handoffs that didn't work, and they threw a safe pass over the middle to a tight end. Now, let me ask you something. You have all these receivers you got, and you can't do a fade in the corner of the end zone? So Jeremiah Smith, who's made one-handed catches all year, and get the crowd pumped up and put Michigan on their heels? Instead, you settled for that field goal. Mm-hmm. You played on your heels. The man played on his heels the whole game. The coach said afterwards, we left, and we're sitting outside waiting. My brother was all the way up the top of the seat deck. He texted me, says, it's going to be an hour before we get out. So we'll wait. We're good. We'll all wait. We're sitting and people are tearing their tailgates down, and people look like a morgue. It looked like a giant Buckeye died. People were walking out sick, yelling, Ryan Day, go, blah, blah, blah. It was all sad. We're sitting there, and they had the Ryan Day press conference on. Three times the man said in the press conference, we start the year off with the plan of beating Michigan. That's our number one goal. 2 minutes later in the presser, he said the same thing. So let me ask you something. 4 years now, the man's number one goal, he said it, I didn't say it, that man said it. Our number one goal is to beat Michigan. You had the best roster this year, way better than them. For 4th year now, you let us down. You're the boss. If you run a program or you run a business and you fail 4 years in a row, you are axed. Mm-hmm. You are canceled. I'm telling you, they're not going to win. And I asked a friend, these guys on Facebook, oh, you can't fire him. You can't fire him. I said, what happens when you lose next year and the next year and the next year? Because he's not beating them. It's in his head. The team's in a funk. It happened with Cooper. He's John Cooper 2.0. And you have to cleanse the soul. I don't know if you get the guy, your buddy from Iowa State. I don't know if you go and grab some of these Ohio coaches that are there or you do something. I don't say you cancel them this year right now before the bowl game, but or before the playoffs. But you cannot run this back again and expect to beat them.
In a weird way. I can't believe I'm saying this, Jums, and thank you very much for the call. It's like, well, can I give him a chance to save his job at winning the national championship? Like, that just like falls out of the trees. So it's a very difficult conversation to have. But I have no faith. After you lose that, you were 23-point favorite. I have no faith in him beating them again, unless the other team just goes out and beats themselves. And Michigan did everything. I mean, they did everything they could for this game. They let it all hang out. They're not a good football team, and you lost to a team that is not good. They are not good, and they're going to be good. And they're the ones that have taken what Urban Meyer did and has made this the sole function of their entire lives. Like, Urban lost a couple of stupid games. He never lost this one. Jim Tressel lost a few football games that were stupid. He only lost this one once. Now, I'm sorry, there's guys who are cut out for it, and there's guys who aren't, and he simply is not.
Does Lima like? Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like.
I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, let's give it up to the Wine and Gold last night.
I'm alive.
The end of a jam-packed holiday sports weekend, although I think you'd say technically tonight with the Browns game will officially close.
Yes.
It seems like that Black
Tonight's
Friday.
Tonight's the closing ceremony.
How many weeks ago does it feel like the Black Friday game was?
Just a very long weekend.
Just lost in a sea
of
sports humanity. It just, yeah. Owen, did you know that was this part of this
no
week in the NFL?
No, that was 3 weeks ago, right?
It is crazy, but what a night last night.
I'm alive.
The Cavaliers, I think a bunch of my friends fell asleep at halftime. I do, because I am on a bunch of live threads, a bunch of in real time commenting on the Cavs games. There's always like two of them who are on a delay anyway, so they're getting caught up, and I expected to see a bunch of their stuff. It all ended at halftime. So I think my buddies figured, all right, especially when they were down 14. The Cavs were down 14.
10 minutes
that was
left,
it.
They were down 14, yeah.
Yeah, so go to bed, finally relax. Are you a guy, Kenny, that sometimes if things aren't going your team's way, you like turn the TV off and just hope?
Yeah.
I have definitely done that in my life, which is so immature. It's so juvenile.
I've never done that for basketball, but I've done it for a lot of other things.
Not basketball,
though? No, not basketball. You can make runs quickly.
You can, especially in today's game, and you saw it yesterday because
I'm alive.
Donovan Mitchell had 20 points in the fourth quarter to erase that 14-point deficit. He was unstoppable. He had 30 in the second half, and this was big because he had struggled shooting the ball against the Hawks. My God, Kenny, it was a cup game, and he let him down. And he let him down in a big way. He came back, and that was beautiful last night as he was able to muster the heroic effort in the fourth quarter to bring the Cavaliers from behind to snap the Celtics' win streak. Mm-hmm. And I felt, look, I know there's no Jaylen Brown, and I know that you've been missing your wings. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the normal teams you would see in the playoffs. But they had Porzingis back.
They had Porzingis.
And that was, they didn't have White either, who's been spectacular for them. But that was a lot of fun. What a comeback last night for the Cavs. It just kind of shows that, oh yeah, Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. And if he is on fire in the fourth, puts a lot of pressure on other teams. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, because Tatum was on fire in the third, and then Donovan Mitchell got it going in the fourth.
It was a... I think it extended the honeymoon for Kenny Atkinson. Starting to get a little people groaning and moaning after the losses to Atlanta. And I went, oh, here we go.
They're 18 and 3.
Yeah, I know. I would feel the same way you do, but check my phone, and there were some moaning and some groaning. And I think that last night extended the honeymoon for Kenny Atkinson, and I'm happy to do so.
And, you know, they have a huge matchup advantage, even if Jaylen Brown was not playing. They have a huge matchup advantage on, you know, their wings, and even their guards are bigger going up against Darius. In fact, you saw a lot of times yesterday Darius trying to hunker down and do everything he could to stop Tatum. They were targeting a lot of those matchups. How about this from Darius Garland?
I'm going to take that challenge whenever it is. I'm no punk. So if y'all want to switch and try to X me out and try to just hunt me out, that's cool. I ain't no punk, though. I'm going to take a challenge.
Like hearing that from DG, Kenny?
I did. I'm very glad. I'm glad he was the second leading scorer, too. Not just that they won, but he was also second leading scorer.
That was nice.
If it would have been like middling, I think he'd get a little nervous.
All right. We obviously... for the first 40-plus minutes of this show, talked about state of affairs at Ohio State. How about we check in on a former Ohio State Buckeye?
I'm alive.
Did you see Kyle McCord in the locker room having himself a celebration after the 42-38 come-from-behind win? Were they down 21-0 in that game?
Yeah, they were.
McCord, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now 29 touchdowns on the season, and they were loving life.
Does it give you any extra satisfaction knowing that the same day you out-dueled Cam Ward beat Miami with this team that Ohio State scored 10 points and lost to Michigan?
Everything comes full circle.
What a way to phrase the question.
Hey, you know, I'll say this. It was bad last year. It was really bad last year in Ann Arbor. As McCord was coming down, he throws the interception. But at least they were throwing the ball down the field, and he was aggressive. What was that on Will Howard at the end of that game?
He felt he was getting scapegoated. He felt he was getting scapegoated. And this game yesterday, on Saturday, they go out there and they take it away from Miami. Throw the ACC into chaos, by the way, as they do so. But they take it away from Miami. And Ohio State, you don't have Kyle McCord to kick around anymore. Mm-mm. It's all squarely on Ryan Day. I think a lot of people already wanted to put it on Ryan Day, but Kyle McCord in that situation didn't help last year. Well, now, if you're Kyle McCord, okay, All righty.
We had another fracas in college football.
I love fracas. No lie.
Just a bunch of classlessness between UNC and NC State. But afterwards, something very different that we absolutely like. Hey, Freddie Kitchens named the interim head coach at UNC. Kenny, Freddie Kitchen, Freddie is back. What kind of t-shirt is he going to be borrowing from his kids this time around?
Well, what's the bowl game that he's going to be coaching in? Do we know yet?
It's a good question.
Tar Heels started it.
Yeah, I don't think they announced the bowl game. Mack Brown started it, right. And he's finishing it.
Can he ride this wave? Is there a chance?
I did see some of the responses where people were like, well, he should be the head coach. I should make him the head coach. I go, you sure you wouldn't do that? by the way, you want to know a coach that's going to jump right in the middle of a fracas at the end of a football game?
Yes.
Freddie going to jump right in.
Yes.
Mike Norville as well. He jumped in the middle of one.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot.
Arizona State?
Yeah.
You saw that? Boy, this all at once copycat league, I guess. You had four different skirmishes at the end of the game with flag plantings.
It's your own skirmish.
Tell you, man, it's over. Fun in college football is going to be over. They're going to make sure of it. And there will be no more flag planting. There will be no more field rushing. It's all over.
Lima no lie.
Maybe we'll get to this a little bit later. Matt Boyd, no longer a Guardian. Did you see what he signed for? Like 2 years, 14 plus million a year as he is. Mitch, who did he sign with?
He signed with the Cubs.
The Chicago Cubs, yep.
Chicago Cubs.
The Cubs, I mean, he has been barely healthy the last few years, barely to start at all, and he gets that much money. It just shows you how far away we are from being able to sign pitchers like that.
Looking good to go.
But I did want to say one final note.
Lime of light.
Kenny, put my name in the ring for the Burton Parade on Friday. It was freezing. The conditions were frigid, and they still had like 1,000 people hanging out at the gazebo or the log cabin right around Town Square. It was immaculate. You said last year it was like a Hallmark card. It really was. It was awesome. We took Izzy there. Yeah, she was probably miserable and cold, but we had a great time. All the kids. She was throwing candy. She threw some candy while she still had good use of her fingers.
It was. I didn't get to spend as much time with Tone as I wanted to. There was a lot going on, but I'm glad that it all went down. And I'm glad you had a good time.
Next year, we're going to take part in the whole festivities because it was awesome.
As long as it's not 20 degrees again.
Well, maybe find a 4th of July parade.
Whoa.
I know. Let's warm it up a little bit.
Said it for about last
That's
night?
It for about last night.
Outstanding
and
as always.
Also Lime of Light.
And
oh, yeah.
Too.
Sorry.